This was Marina Rav Shvitsa. You might ask, why did I choose the subject of Mark here? I could say it's because it says we're in a base HaMedrash Chodosh, but it wasn't because I'm trying to scrape the barrel looking for ideas. The reason why I chose this topic is because in my working life I visited a person's house who asked me for some advice to do with planning permissions, and he had done some major landscaping works in his garden where he had created a patio outside his house, and rather than a staircase with railings there was a steep drop. And whereas his garden had previously been a gentle slope downwards, or in fact a steep slope downwards, he had changed it to make it straight so that the kids could play football easily, and as a result of that there was a steep drop. And at the end of the garden there was another steep drop leading to the shed. And I made a casual remark, saying, you've got young children, do you think this is safe? Oh, he said, when my cash flow improves I'll get round to putting up some sort of railing. He must have spent tens of thousands on these changes to his garden, but he had not bothered to organise any safety precautions. So I'm not coming to dictate the health and safety regulations. What we're going to do is look a little bit at the DIN, where it applies, where it might not apply, with some interesting ideas behind it. Says the Torah in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, Dvarim Kafbeis Pasuk Ches, Losiso Market Legagecho, Kisitna Bais Chodosh, when you make a new house, Losiso Market Legagecho, you make a market, a fence around your flat roof. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Ritzeach, Peret Yudala Chalacha Aleph, this is a mitzvah saseh. It's brought down in the very last chapter of the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat Simon Tov Kaf Zayin, and the pasuk carries on, Velo tosin domim beveisecho, and you shall not cause the shedding of blood in your house, which gives it a lo saseh as well as an aseh. So the mitzvah saseh is you shall make a market, but the mitzvah lo saseh is don't be the cause of bloodshed. And this is a mitzvah min haTorah. So when do you have to do it, when don't you have to do it? So there are various poskim, and the rule is that if the drop is 10 tefachim or more, and we say that is where there is a sakona of possible misa, then you have to build a marker. Hi, come in. Now the Rambam says in Hilchos Brachos, that there are various mitzvahs to say, like tefillin and sukkah and lulav and shofar, which are chova, and there are certain mitzvahs which are called mitzvah kiyumis. What are they? So mezuzah you only have to put up if you have a door, a marker you only have to put up if you have a flat roof. It's not that you have to build a house with a flat roof, but these are mitzvah kiyumis. But you have to do it nevertheless, and mitzvah kiyumis doesn't lessen the importance of the mitzvah. As we discussed a few weeks ago, mitzvah living in empty Israel is also a mitzvah kiyumis, but it's to be taken seriously. It's not therefore only a roof which needs a parapet, which needs a fence. It's any place where someone may fall. How do we know? Because the Sifri says, well, see some marker, a gaggeth, you make a marker for your roof. But then it says, and you mustn't have anything which causes a risk, causing bloodshed. And therefore, you have to provide a fencing not only necessary to a roof, but to other places as well. For example, a staircase. A staircase has to have banisters. If you don't have a protection on a staircase, then you are committing an issue.
I once came back from the lift to the Pines, Golden Green.
Yeah.
It was snowing. Snow in front of the base of medicine at times, and as the pine came out, the corner went up to him and he said, "The saw from the thing, the was also done with the razor."
Yeah.
May I interrupt for a moment?
Yeah.
I can give some clarification to the following. I'm greatly puzzled by the pasuk, he's simply by his kodosh. If it is designed as a safety precaution, I would say the heifer, just give an old house and put it up, not a new house.
It's true. La halacha, if you move into a house which is an old house and it hasn't got a marker, you have to put one up. And not only that, but the din of market applies not only to the owner of a house, the din of market applies to a builder, it applies to somebody who's renting a house. Anybody who's got a shaykhus to the house all have a duty to put up a market. But we will discuss later what's the significance of Bayis Chodosh, because it seems there are some mystical ideas involved in this as well. Now the Netziv in Parshas Kiseitse asks, why is it that the first thing it talks about with Bayis Chodosh is market? What about mezuzah? You have a mitzvah of mezuzah to place on the door when you move into a house. So he says, the reason is because a house, it's more imperative to have a marker on it than a mezuzah on it. Those are all sakanta chamira me'esura, that where there is danger involved, we treat that more strictly than with a surah. And if you are not able to obtain a mezuzah, then you're honest, you can still live in the house until you manage to get hold of a mezuzah. But if you haven't got a marker on the roof, you're not allowed to move into the house at all. You're not allowed to go near it. So says the Netziv. Now, there's an interesting question. A shul hasn't got to have a marker. The din is primarily a base dira, a residence. Because that's where people are frequently, that's where a person might forget himself more easily. If a roof of a shul is regularly used, then you should have a marker on it. And then you put it up, but you don't make a bracha on it, because it's not a base dira. So this building we're now in has a flat roof, but it's not regularly used, but you do go up there in order to change the light bulbs for the chandelier. Well, I know that was the way it was 30 years ago anyway, and it still is. So you might say, do I need a marker? There's a tshuva about if people in the shul go up on the roof to do kiddush levona, and that's a regular thing, and it's a flat roof, then it should have a marker. Even you might say it's only once a month. But if it's a very rare occasion, then we're saying it's a svara that a person who goes out only occasionally will be careful, and therefore it does not need a marker, beis hakneses, and also if it's not used regularly. Okay. There is a question, though, which is put by the Minchas Chinuch. And I was very frustrated when I had this reference, Minchas Chinuch, and in my copy there were a few pages missing just at that point. And this morning I came into shul, and just standing behind my place there was this Minchas Chinuch Chelek base, so I managed to peep into it. He asks the question, why is it that in the Mishnah, in Midas, in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Vav, it talks about the din of a marker on the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash has to have a marker on the Heichal. The Mishnah says it's got to be three amos, not just ten tefachim like the usual measurements of a marker. And there is an opinion there of Rabbi Yehuda, he says it should be four amos. Why is it, he says, that the Beis HaKnesses does not have to have the market, but the Beis HaMikdash does have to have a market? He leaves it as Betzorah Chiyum. The slope didn't have to have. The Rambam writes the slope doesn't have to have a fence, even though there was this danger of the Kohanim running up and so on. The story is that with the slope, people are going to be more careful in any case, and it's not a base theorem. But the Heichal, in his, actually, he does an illustration. The Rambam does an illustration, and he doesn't show any marker for that, but he shows a marker for the Heichal. Just like the Mishnah says in Mishnah Yis, Midas Perik Dalet. We'll come back to that. Some will say, well, if a shul doesn't require a marker, maybe a marker is not just simply a safety precaution. If it were, then you just do it with satsvara. It's something more than that. It's an exercise in teaching somebody who is a homeowner to think about safety. That you could say is one svara. Market doesn't apply to publicly held property. In the way they talk in the Derech of Brisk, then we say it's a din gavra. It's a din on the individual, the house owner, and it's not a din on the chefta, on the actual object. You can do various longish exercises, but there's clearly a din about accident prevention, to design a safe environment, that you have such a protection, and that the responsibility for safety rests on the house owner. What if a person says, look, it's not my responsibility if kids come up on my roof. I've got a notice outside, trespassers will be prosecuted. They're not allowed in. But children are going up on his roof constantly to play, and it's a flat roof. Is he chayav or isn't he chayav? The answer is yes, he is. Even if he says, look, it's not my problem, they should worry about their safety. It's his responsibility, the fact that he has a house with a flat roof. It's a responsibility to prevent injury, and it's not just an issue of compensation, but in our compensation culture one might get sued or whatever it is. It's far more reaching than that. In a principle in Jewish ethics that you are responsible in your property for the welfare of an intruder. Yes?
Does that mean that as opposed to actually just putting up some kind of, marker, you could put a gate at the access point, would that have the same effect, a lovely effect?
No, if you have a gate at your access point at ground level, and it's possible for kids to climb over that gate.
It's possible for a kid always to climb over a marker as well. So yes. I suppose you could have a gate higher than the marker would have been. Would that have been satisfied?
According to the sieve, it's not good enough.
It's actually a requirement for... You actually have to have a marker as opposed to a marker equivalent somewhere else.
Yes, it's not enough to have a fence which might assume that you're precluding entry. If there is a flat roof and it's a resident, you have to have a marker.
Before, that
there's
a general principle about ourselves and God
who we serve. Yeah.
I mean, that's what
the Sifri says, what about other places, and it lists various other circumstances. Well, do you need some protection? And it says yes, because it says no sasat omim will they set up. The added clause is to reinforce that it's not only the roof of your house. It's anywhere where you can perceive a danger, and as a homeowner it's your duty to try and see where danger might be, and then to do something about it. So, when our kids were very young, I thought to myself, well, our windows are not so low down. The din is, if a window is within 10 tefachim of the ground, then you have to have some sort of marker, and glass is not enough, because it's easily breakable. Rav Mordechai Lior writes about it. You have to have a marker, some sort of barrier. But I thought, when the kids are growing up, there's a danger of leaving out the window, so I arranged to put some of these two metal barriers on our windows, on the bedroom windows, just to make sure that it's safe.
That can have a counter effect in the event of a fire. So the trouble is, if someone needs an access point there, an exit point to get out, you're actually putting in.
I agree that you have to make sure that you've got an adequate escape in case of fire. The way I did it was that you could still just stand on a chair and then get over those railings through the remaining gap of the window. So the lower railings are relatively lower down. And years later, when I was fixing a new curtain rail, and I lost my balance and I was leaning backwards and I went against the window, and the window flew open, but I was saved by those two metal railings which I had put up, worried about my children. So...
In any case, it would seem that in the warmer countries, like the Middle East or the open forest, that typically more useful may not be that
yes. It's more frequent, but even if it's infrequent, but it's used... Yeah. That's it. So you spoke about Reb Chaim Halpern. Reb Chaim Halpern actually had a balcony on which he made his sukkah, but he made a marker on this balcony, and he made a bracha over it, as the halacha requires, and he made a sudas mitzvah following that. Sorry, what did you mean?
I was going to say, we're responsible for anything in our houses. When you topically, when we had this extension put up here, we are responsible. What we're going to do is very concerned to see the things that they do. We can't say that we don't want to know what you're doing. Let him get it into what the space that he can come to. You've got to.
And the Pa'as Shulchan writes, he was a Talmud of the Groin, Herik Beis, Hafzayim. He says, I have witnessed people dying from falling from roofs. And in addition, he says, not only is it a clear-cut halacha, but he says, sodos naros tuluyamot. There are great secrets involved. There's something mystical about this. And I'm going to come to that soon.
Is the fence strong enough to avoid the person from falling over?
It's made very clear-cut. It's got to be a strong fence, yes.
And what's the test of
It's not the Sukkah test to withstand in a normal wind. It's got to be very strong to stop somebody from falling down. The minimum is 10 sefachim. Yeah, has to be a proper fence. So there's a slight difference of opinion between Poskim as to how much it is. The general rule of thumb is 1 meter in height. The Chaim Noah, his minimum is, I think, 92 centimeters, but he says it's preferable to make it 114 centimeters because of Sakanta Chamimri Asura. The Chazon Ish is more than his minimum, but 1 meter is the general approximation of the various opinions. So there is a problem, right, to the Steichemes, if you ask a goy to put it up for you. Because if there is a mitzvah saseh to do something, then you should do it yourself. If you can't manage to do it because you're not into DIY, then you should get a shliach to do it. But a shliach then should be a bar chiyuvah, a Jew. And if you have a goy to do it, he says you're losing your mitzvah. Because if a goy is doing it, a goy is not a bar shlichus. Whereas with a sukkah, you can have a goy building a sukkah, because the ikka mitzvah is not the building of the sukkah, it's the sitting in the sukkah. But here, the ikka mitzvah is the building of the marker. Therefore, you should do it, or another yid should do it, if possible. This is also brought down from the Seichemet, and the Seichemet makes the point that you don't have any period of grace of 30 days. Some people think with a mezuzah they've got a period of grace, but it's really, it should be up from day one. But he makes the point, especially by marker, there's no period of grace whatsoever. You can't move into a place until it has the marker. So...
I'm
sorry?
30 days petra. So this is
like
your rent.
It cooks like it. Yeah.
If you're at the bank, you work on that for
miracle. Right. There is a difference between the Rishonim about whether you make a Shechianu the first time you do this. The Rambam says you make the bracha of Shechianu, other Poskim feel you don't. The question is really, is there's something very unusual about this, because it's regarded as a mitzvah bein ozam lachavera, to protect other people. If it's a mitzvah bein ozam lachavera, where do you find a mitzvah bein ozam lachavera where you make a bracha over it? We make a bracha on Narka. But if you think about it, and Rav Hirsch writes this, you don't make a bracha on any other mitzvah bein ozam lachavera. But you do on the subject of marker. Why is this? Again, we'll come back to this, because the question is that there is something symbolic about the marker which is more than just bein ozam lachavera. It's not just that you are making sure that nobody will be harmed. It's something much more, that you are doing a mitzvah min haTorah for yourself, for the house, that this house has to have certain concepts about it in the context of Bein Adam L'Mokam. That's how he looks at it. So on the practical level, we've spoken about windows, we've spoken about stairs. The Chazon Ish says that you have to have a marker on staircase, and with a mirpeset, with balconies, the Cyclegon says you have to make a bracha. Now you might think a balcony, it's not even dalad al dalad, because the minimum is for a dwelling which is dalad al dalad amos. A balcony sticks out, it's nothing near dalad al dalad. The Cycler says you have to make a marker on a balcony, there is a danger of death. And the reason why it needs a bracha, says Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, is because it's part of the residence which is dalad al dalad. And it is as if it is, therefore, dalad al dalad. And therefore you have to make a bracha. Now, what if you're only going to use the roof for maintenance? Then the Rashba writes in Chelek Beis Simon Mem Hei, it's possible. Because we're assuming that you'll be careful when you go out there, just like when you go to change the lights of the chandelier. But if there is a possibility that you think there is a risk, especially if others will go up there, and it's easy to get up there, the children might go up there, then you should have a marker. A shul hall, there's a question, and a minchas yitzchak. He says that it's possible, but if the roof is used, chelak hay, he says, then you will need a marker. And even if it means putting up a marker on chalamot, or a Tisha B'Av, which at times you wouldn't normally do work relating to the house, which is Einar Simon Bracha, you have to put it on even on those days. I'm sorry? It seems as though on the staircase you don't actually make the bracha, because it's not so much within the concept of a flat roof, but it's part of the second pasuk, Losot in Domin Beveste. Yeah. It's
apart from the fact that there's no other bits of how you got a really year before Tobin. Unless Tobin is interpreted as money, compensation, value.
Yes.
That's how it
means. That's right. But it does single itself out more than any of these other mitzvahs. He signifies Chodosh, the first thing he talks about is Makeh, and he's not talking about Mezuzah, as we've discussed. We said there are Sodos Tluyim Bo, this is the Pa'as Shulchan. What does he mean there's some special secrets and ideas behind Makeh? A man is called Odom. Odom Aleph Dalad Men. When a person does a sin, he splits this word. What does the Benish Chai say on this? Something really amazing. He says when a person is doing something simple, he takes the Aleph away from the Dalad and the Mem. The Dalad and the Mem spell Dom, blood. Chazal teach us that Odom Arishon, he brought blood and death to the world because he was sinning. He took the Aleph off from his name. What is this letter Aleph? If you look at the letter Aleph, it's composed as a vav in the middle, with the Yud on top and the Yud underneath. The Yud plus the Yud plus the Vav makes 26. 26 being the gematria of Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's name. But the Benish Chai says there is another word which is 26, and that is Gagecho, your roof. Will you have to make a Makeh to Gagecho? Gimel Kaf is also 26. So the whole Yesod of Odom Arishon doing sin, he ties up to the mitzvah of Makeh. That the Aleph is the Gagecho. And then when a person does teshuva and one repents properly, that is compared to the Kisid Nevayis Chodosh, your spiritual house which you're making, not just your physical house. Your spiritual house which you're making, that is your Aleph, that is your Gagecho, that is your Yud Kei Vav Kei. Then you bring yourself back into a human being again, into Odom. Joining the Aleph with the Dalad and the Mem, taking away the blood and making yourself into a mensch. This is a most beautiful idea, but then he says something even more deep. He says there are various bad traits which you find in a person's character. There is gaiva, haughtiness, there is kas, anger, there is machlokes, causing arguments, and taiva, there is lust. He says all of these, in various places, you might find a reference to them within the parable of mayim, of water. For example, in Mishlei, it says, mayim gunuvim yim toku, stolen water tastes sweet. So he ties up the idea of water with somebody who's got the lust and desire for stealing. And he says, domim is the word dalad and mayim. Mayim is water. Dalad, he says, there are four kinds of this water, of various bad traits of a person's character. The homeopaths say that like cures like, and they give a medicine of a slight degree of that poison to cure it. What he is saying is that the waters which are the bad waters is cured by the good waters. Torah is also compared to water. But the domim, los sasid domim b'meisecho, is that you mustn't put into your house these bad traits of a bad character. So the Kedushas Levi says, when you experience a new spiritual achievement, you are like preserving your marker. You are putting a fence around yourself, protecting yourself from the evils of the world. And he notes also Gagecho is the numerical value of 26. And the Naam Elimelech talks in a mystical way about the hidden light which Hashem made for the tzaddikim of the future, which was put away at the time of Odom Arishon. And he ties it up with this idea of the roof. A person's reconstruction of himself, he's sitting there by his chodosh, is his abode. He is transforming what is inside him. That is his roof. But the problem about a roof is that it's high up. And a person, when he learns Torah a lot, might become haughty and proud. He must make sure that when he learns Torah a lot, he mustn't think, oh, I'm really special now. I'm more important than others. How does he get rid of that haughtiness? He has to put something on that roof of his. A marker. What is the word marker? It's not just that it means a fence. Marker comes from another word. Mimamakim karasicha Hashem. From the loneliness I call to you Hashem. The idea of marker is to lessen your haughtiness, that you shouldn't be so proud when you raise yourself, kisimabais chodosh, to the heights of spiritual level when you get up to your roof. Now we asked the question before about the Beis HaMikdosh. Why is it that the Beis HaMikdosh requires a marker? Three amos, says the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says four amos, which is more than just 1 meter, 10 tefachim. The Beis HaMikdosh requires an even greater marker than other buildings. And yet, asks the Minchas Chinuch, this marker is not even required in a Beis HaKnesses. Yet we have to have it in the Beis HaMikdosh. What can we say in the light of these ideas from the Ben Yishchai and the Noam Elimelech, the mystical ideas? The Beis HaMikdosh represents our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. And when we say, what is the most important institution in Jewish life? It used to be the Beis HaMikdosh. But nowadays, what is the most important institution? The most important institution is the Jewish home. It's not like some people think that it's the synagogue. It is important, the synagogue, yes. But it's the Jewish home where the children grow up and they see the example that we set to them to make sure that there are these middos and that there's no gaiva, that there's no taiva, etc. That when they grew up in the Jewish home, that is the microcosm of the Beis HaMikdosh. That is where we're serving Hashem day by day. Just like we don't have any more the Mizbeach and the Shulchan. The Shulchan in the house is like compared to the Shulchan of the Mizbeach. And that when you have guests at the table and you make the brachas at the table and you have Divrei Torah at the table, it is as if that is the Beis HaMikdosh. And so the Beis HaMikdosh itself carries the marker. Not so much because we're worried about safety. Who's going to, in their right mind, climb up on the roof of the Beis HaMikdosh to play around? Such a holy building, which you have to be told to go on there, but nevertheless it's got the marker to demonstrate this is not just a mitzvah, bein odom l'chaveiro. It's a mitzvah requiring a bracha, because that is the epitome of what the Jewish home should look like. That it's got that marker, a symbol of protection, that you make your own protections. If to not to come to do Aveira, you make your own marker. Just like the Chazal made a Siyod L'Torah, we in our own individual lives should always make a marker. And this reminds us of the importance of doing something on this in our everyday spiritual lives. Thank you very much. For whom it was destined, yes? I was thinking of talking about that. Very interesting point. It says Hanofel in the Pasuk, and that person, he had it coming to him. It was destined for him. But you mustn't be the one who's responsible to carry out that divine decree. Hashem's got his cheshbon, and you've got your cheshbon. Like the Aron Miklot. It's not for you. You know, Chizkiah, he said, I don't get married because I foresee that there will be people who will come from me who will be reshoim. And he was punished for that. Because he's got the mitzvah of Peru, you've got a mitzvah to get married. It's not your cheshbon if your future descendant will one day be reshoim. You've got your job to get married and to bring them up, the children, in the way of the Torah, and that's it. It's the same with Hanofel. The Nofel, yes, it's true. It was destined for him to come. But you have a very big Aveira if you were the one who brought it about. A mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh. And this is dealt with in the Mephoshim.
It is as though you're slapping by the simply by your the people not in the Gagetah, although you are slapping the guilty party who is destined,
yes,
to fall down.
You have the duty to obstruct that guilty party who's got it decreed that he shall die. And you mustn't say, oh, we had it coming, oh, it was decreed on Rosh Hashanah. No, you have the duty of preventing it in your house, in your circumference, and to make sure that that decree of Min HaShemayim should not happen as a result of your neglect. Yeah. So the people of Egypt, you could say, well, Hashem decreed that they should be Gerim and Avodim and Inuyim, Geri Yazar, Eretz Dolayim, so why should the Egyptians be punished? The Egyptians were punished. Hashem said, "Vegames, Hagoy Hashem Alodu, Zom Anochi. I shall give them just judgment."
That's right.
Is there any explanation at all for Zomim being a compensation rather than from the shoulders of Dham? When we sometimes see a Zomim value of money.
Well, we've got Torah Shebal Peh for Ayin Tachas Ayin, Shein Tachas Shein. And Chazal teach us, this is talking Domim, and the Gemara asks, if you've got one eye and I've got two eyes, is it fair if you knock out one of my eyes that I knock out one of yours? Because I'll still be able to see, but then you won't be able to see. And there's the famous Milne Gaon, why does it say Tachas, Ayin Tachas Ayin? Because underneath the ayin, underneath those letters of the word ayin, spells kesef, money. Under the ayin is pay, under the yud is kaf, under the nun is samuch, which spells kesef. So why does it say ayin tachas ayin rather than ayin keneged ayin? Because the tachas, the underneath, are those letters which spell kesef. And hence we know that it means monetary compensation.
What do you mean the letters underneath?
Ayin, yud, nun. The letter after ayin is pei, the letter after yud is chaf, and the letter after nun is samach, and those letters spell kesef, which means money. Hence, it doesn't mean that you punch out the other person's eye, like the Karaites believe, who take the Torah literally. The Torah Shebal Peh explains it means monetary compensation.